evening. Welcome to Employment Law Today. I'm your host, Eric Sauber. I'm an employment law business law attorney, and I host this weekly show on Talk Radio NYC, Tuesdays, 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. My topic tonight involves staying centered during COVID. This is for employers, this is for businesses, employees, pretty much everyone I think could relate to this topic during these times. And I just want to first introduce my guest on the show tonight. My guest is Sam Leibowitz, aka The Conscious Consultant. Sam, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me on your show, Eric. I really appreciate it.
Oh, my pleasure. Looking forward to an interesting conversation, no doubt. And I just want to first introduce our topic for our audience to hear tonight. Then I'll segue into an introduction for you, Sam. The topic being, again, staying during COVID. And for many business owners, COVID-19 has felt like a relentless assault on their professional and personal lives. We talk about economic losses, the stress of repeatedly revamping their workforce to meet changing regulations, anxiety, frustration, pending fear of death from an insidious illness. I mean, all of these things arguably over the last 14 months can be called a crisis. But the word crisis also means opportunity, depending upon one's state of mind. And the question becomes, can we adapt to and accept conditions as they are? Can we own our power to change what is in our control and recognize what's not? What new lessons can we learn from negative experiences, such as the pandemic? And how do we ground ourselves enough to take in these lessons and grow personally and professionally? And so I could think of, honestly, no better person to discuss this topic than Sam Leibowitz, and I'll tell everybody why right now. As Sam is my guest tonight, he is known as the Conscious Consultant. Sam is a mentor, coach, speaker, healer, and serial entrepreneur, and author of the number one best-selling book, Everyday Awakening. Sam has been in business since 1993 and has owned several successful businesses. His current ventures include the Conscious Consultant, a coaching and mentoring service which promotes sensible, ethical, moral, and conscious ways to build careers and businesses, as well as Talking Alternative Broadcasting, this station, an internet radio station which reaches over 120 countries and 300,000 listeners worldwide. And Sam also runs Double Diamond Wellness, which is a healing center in the heart of Manhattan. In these various roles, Sam has inspired hundreds of people to live a life that is happier, healthier, and more fulfilled. Sam has lectured in several venues in New York City, including as a featured guest speaker at TED Talk Upper West Side in 2016. And so with that, again, Sam, it's great to have you on the show this evening.
Yeah, thank you so much, Eric. Wow. I like, you know, when you hear your own bio, it's like, wow, that's like pretty impressive. Wow.
Yeah, it is. It's like pretty impressive. And then maybe the thought, how did I do all this? You know, how did this happen?
Exactly.
And how did the time go by too? And it's interesting, you know, because talking about your bio, Sam, kind of brings me to my first question for you. You've been an entrepreneur, as mentioned, in technology, commercial real estate, related corporate settings. So I was wondering, what inspired your path towards becoming the Conscious Consultant and running the station Talk Radio NYC?
Well, I became an entrepreneur mostly because, and I worked for about 9 years at you know, major financial companies and institutions in New York City, even worked at a trade association as a systems engineer for 3 years. But I was working hard. Like anything I put myself into, I put a lot of effort into. And so when I would compare like my paycheck to the guy in the cubicle next to me, just because he was there a year longer than I was, he was getting a lot more money than me, but he wasn't necessarily working as hard as I was. And I just felt like I wanted to be the master of my own destiny. I felt like if I'm going to put in this much effort into some kind of work, that I want, I'll take the risk, but I want the reward. And so then I became an entrepreneur, and I kind of bounced around. I started several different companies, some on my own, some with other people. Mm-hmm. And then I kind of, after my real estate debacle, which I got into real estate, I always say at exactly the wrong time, and I got out at an even worse time.
Oh,
yeah. In New York City. And then doing commercial real estate in New York City is really swimming with the sharks. Mm-hmm. But it really helped to put me back on my spiritual path. When I was in college and just immediately after college, because of the people I met and I was spending a lot of time with, I actually learned a lot about a lot of different spiritual traditions, going back. And so it was kind of like a coming home, a coming back to it. And it was interesting because at the time, I was a business consultant. I was basically teaching people how to start their own business. I actually ran a course called Tips from the Real World, How to Start Your Own Small Business. I gave lectures at outsourcing companies and how to go from an employee to a consultant. And so I was mentoring and helping people to get into business for themselves because taking all the experience I had from my own businesses to train people. Right. But then I kind of got back into all this spiritual stuff and consciousness and everything. And it just kind of dawned on me. It's like, what do I do with all of this? Like now that I know, like I have these abilities and capabilities, like people, like, what do I do with it? And then it just kind of came to me like, well, you're still a consultant. You're just a different kind of consultant. Mm-hmm. So I still work with people. I mean, I still, you know, I run businesses. I still coach and mentor people. But I do it from a different aspect, a different angle. I look at people's consciousness, their awareness, how they're showing up in the world. So I'm not the guy to go to for like hardcore strategies and how to get more ROI. Right. But I'm the guy to go to when you've been beating your head against the wall. You've tried everything like everyone has been telling you to do to get past some challenge or situation or change things. And it just nothing is working. Mm-hmm. Like those are the people who come to me. And I'm like, okay, let's take a step back. Let's look at this on a deeper level. Mm-hmm. And then we unwind it depending on exactly what the situation is.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting. People that come to you, as you mentioned, I hear sort of a sense that folks might be stagnant, stuck, and they've tried the different, as you say, suggestions or tips. And they're at that place that maybe, I suppose, looking inward and getting more centered, seeing how one perceives the world might be perhaps is that the key sort of that gets turned, that maybe unlocks the door, gets them out of their rut, perhaps?
Yeah, well, it's kind of like they throw up their hands and it's like, I don't know what to do. Like none of this traditional stuff is working, so I may as well try something different.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And when I work with someone, I usually, I let them tell me their story, but what I'm really listening for is what's the underlying energetic pattern that they're living out. Because oftentimes when someone is stuck or has a problem, it's shown up in their life and in their business elsewhere.
Right.
So it's what's the common thread? What's going on it's going on in their business and their home life, their job here and there. Mm-hmm. And then we kind of dig deeper. And so by digging deeper, what we usually uncover is there's some past trauma, there's some unresolved issues that go back a long way, and those challenges and those issues are really keeping them from being fully present to what's going on right in front of them, right, and also keeping them from really accessing more of their own power in a situation.
Mm-hmm. Right, people that are blocked. You know, it's interesting, Sam, that what you're talking about, right, this that you came back to. First off, what struck me in what you said is how you had this real estate debacle. And I heard a little bit of humor in how you described it now. You know, you jokingly said, I heard a little about got in at the worst time, got out at a worse time. And maybe it wasn't as funny at the moment. Maybe that expression, comedy equals time plus pain or plus error.
Yeah.
But I do think that a lot of people I know will talk about coming to a spiritual place after some kind of hardship or crisis, almost as kind of as in line with our topic tonight about people getting centered during these tough times. Another thing you said, though, just the idea that it triggered, or rather it brought up for me the question, it triggered the thought that, you know, there's this tendency in our culture, I think, to view spirituality and emotional health as something that's separate, right? It's sort of outside the corporate business world, what you do at yoga on Sunday or on the weekends. So I'm wondering, like, as a conscious consultant, how do you integrate these spiritual principles and practices like into your clients' lives to advance their professional and their personal growth?
Well, the first thing is to actually change that perception that these things are separate.
Right.
Because they're not. Mm-hmm. We are one holistic being. how we show up in our life is how we show up in our business, is how we show up at home, is how we show up in our relationships, is how we show up when we deal with vendors, clients, customers, employers, employees, managers. And if we're not showing up from a good place, it's going to be reflected in what's going on around us. So the first thing is I usually get people to start doing, and I give out a lot of homework. So I give people all kinds of practices, exercises to do. Mm-hmm. And then when they see like, oh, like doing something a little different, it actually is making a difference. Like they feel differently. And I try and bring people back to how are they feeling in the given situation? Because in the Western civilization, we so glorify the mind and we're all up in our heads that we forget that there's this whole mechanism below our neck called our body, our heart, our spirit that operates amazing wonders and that we're not just a head with a mind. Mm-hmm. And so I try and get people back into feeling what's going on, because when we get into the feeling, there's a lot more information. It can be very rich. And in some ways, it's actually more accurate than trying to figure things out. You know, Malcolm Gladwell wrote a book called Blink.
Yes.
Of where people made split second decisions that were much more apropos or accurate or better decisions than when they had all this time to think back and analyze all the different situations, which everywhere people can go. And it's that kind of thing where it just comes up in the body. It's that gut instinct, mm-hmm. right? And science has now found that we may have neurons in the brain, but we have neurons in our heart and we have neurons in our gut. Mm. So the body is actually a very intelligent system. We've been taught to ignore it for so much of our life. We don't realize that it can actually serve us in very practical day-to-day things. And I like being practical. You know, a lot of people who talk about this consciousness stuff and spirituality, it's, you know, a lot of people feel it's woo-woo, it's fluffy, it's out there. Mm-hmm. I like to bring things down to what's practical. How can it help us? And if it's nice and esoteric, I mean, I can fly there. I can play that game.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
But if it's not improving our day-to-day life, then what good is it?
Yeah. Right. I mean, it's interesting too, because we talk about the power of the mind. And as you mentioned, our society, I agree with you. I think it does overly emphasize that, you know, or the power of the mind and thinking and all, but our bodies and how we feel, I think, can be a much more powerful driver. In fact, very often you talk about science, and I've read studies and articles over the years of how when we're extremely stuck in anxiety or fear or anger mode, you know, those emotions can almost shut down the frontal cortex that has to do with all the thought. And right. We're not even aware that our bodies and how we feel are driving what we say and do. So I think you made some important points there, which I definitely want to address. But as you might know from your time here, we need to take a commercial break for our sponsors. Imagine that, not too surprised. When we come back, though, I'm going to ask Sam a question. We're going to discuss, for those who are feeling defeated in the face of this pandemic, what are some things you can do, concrete, as Sam mentioned, to really reclaim your success? So, folks, I'm Eric Sauver, host of Employment Law Today on Talk Radio NYC. Stick around. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
Are you interested in having a better relationship with yourself, others, and God? Greetings. I'm your host, Dr. George Andow, for the show, A Journey Through Into Awareness. On my show, we journey into the awareness that the mind of God is the true seat of our personal consciousness. We join together each Monday at 7 p.m., so tune in on Talk Radio NYC.
Did you know that nearly one in five adults in the U.S. battles mental illness? Hi, my name is Albert Dabba. I'm the host of the show Extra Inning. Extra Innings, I discuss the topics of wellness, mental health, and the experience of surviving multiple suicides within my family. Listen live every Monday at 6 p.m. Eastern to Extra Innings for discussions with sports figures, artists, mental health professionals, and many others. That's Monday at 6 p.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc.
Hi, I'm Graham Dobbin. Join me every Thursday evening for the Mind Behind Leadership here on talkradio.nyc. We speak to people from business, sport, military and politics, all around what makes a great leader. The personal experiences of what's worked and, maybe more importantly, what hasn't worked. So, that's 7 o'clock every Thursday evening, the Mind Behind Leadership here on talkradio.nyc. Listen to real stories of real leaders.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.
Welcome back to Employment Law Today. I'm your host, Eric Sauber, employment law business law attorney. I'm here tonight with my guest, Sam Leibowitz, the conscious consultant. Sam is also the director and the executive producer on Talk Radio NYC of the station. And we're talking tonight about staying centered during COVID and really talking about how to ground oneself, how to reframe matters. And Sam and I were discussing the holistic aspect that Sam was saying of spirituality. I think that goes back to the mind, body, spirit connection that more people are catching on to, that we're not just, as Sam said, a floating head with over analysis and thought, and that we're actually feeling people and human beings. And the fact that we have to integrate, we're not just showing up in our life at home this way and at work the other way. We're not really so much perhaps compartmentalized as we might think we are. I just want to ask you a question along those lines, Sam. Talking about the pandemic right now, wondering, so for those listeners out there who might be feeling defeated in the face of this pandemic, what are some concrete things they can do to potentially reclaim their success, you know, in the face of this adversity?
Mm-hmm. So one of the things I often remind people of is that we don't really have control over what happens to us, over external circumstances, right? I mean, nobody can control this pandemic. But we do have 100% control over how we choose to show up in a situation. We have control over our response. And that's where our power lies. You know, so often we feel disempowered because we're focusing on the wrong thing. Mm-hmm. We're focusing on the external instead of focusing on the internal and how can we show up. Mm-hmm. And one of the things I usually do is I often in workshops and seminars that I give, I ask people, Am I the only one, or has other people had this experience where some period of time ago, 5, 10, 15, 20 years ago, you were going through some experience that was maybe excruciating at that time, mm-hmm. but now that you have the distance, you look back on it and you realize you've grew so much from that experience. Maybe you can even laugh at it now. Like I was joking about my real estate experience, which was pretty painful at the time. Yeah. So. And I'm like, well, what's the difference between then and now? Hmm. The incident is still the incident. Mm-hmm. The only difference is our perspective.
Right.
That we can see things differently. Hmm. And what I say is it's the judgment that we have at the time. We have these tendencies as human beings to constantly judge what we're going through as either good or bad in the moment. Right. But the truth is we don't have the perspective to know if it's truly good or bad. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so what I tell people to do is like, just put it off for one day, just wait for one day and say, I don't know if this is good or bad. I'll figure that out tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And then you know what you do tomorrow, Eric?
The same thing. I don't know if it's good or bad. I'll figure it out tomorrow.
Right. Okay. Exactly. Right. You see, because if you just tell people like, don't have any judgment, they're like, oh, that's impossible. I can't do that.
Sure.
But if you say, just put it off for a day and that anybody can do, and we can just keep putting it off a little bit more. Mm-hmm. And then it comes down to, what are we focusing on in the moment? Mm-hmm. So during the pandemic, you can focus on the fact like, oh, I can't travel, I didn't see my friends, I miss this, I miss that. Mm-hmm. Or you can focus on the fact that like the world was going so crazy before this pandemic. I had several friends who were like, things are so crazy, I just want to stop and get off. Mm-hmm. And it's like, hey, we got a nice big pause now. What an opportunity to be with ourselves, to be with our loved ones. Mm-hmm. You know, I've heard a lot of stories, and I tell you, I don't have any kids. I know you do, Eric. And, yes. And I know, like, especially you have little kids during this time, it can be a little bit challenging. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And at the same time, I've talked with several professional men who had kids, mm-hmm. who said, like, during the, at first they were kind of annoyed and, you know, difficult and everything else. And then in the middle of it, they stopped and they realized, like, oh my God, you know, I may never get another chance like this to spend this kind of quality time with my kids. I want to make the most of it.
Yes. Wow. I really, you know, love to jump in there with my own observation, if I could share my experience on that very last point. And I think it's great people are hearing this again, that what you're saying about just the importance of focusing on how you frame things, how you view things, what you can control, and not so much sort of what we can't, or fighting against what is, right? But the pandemic is a good example. That last point about parents with kids, you're right, I have a son, he's Nathan, he's 21 months old. And so he's too young to really appreciate this, but but I'll give a shout out to him. Hi, Nathan. But in any event, what I'd say is that when the pandemic started, shortly before that, I was feeling the commute and the time constraints and juggling growing up as a parent, as a husband, and you know, a family man with my career as an attorney. And there were times when the train was delayed, and I thought, gee, I want to slow things down and spend more time with my son. I take a few days off, I make plans on the weekend. When the pandemic hit, and my wife and I were tasked with, at that time he was 7 months old, taking care of him because his daycare had closed, like effective the day before everything shut down. There were times when it was very, very stressful and difficult. And, you know, suddenly my wife and I were negotiating schedules, balancing things. You know, we had a 7 month old, but there are other times when I would reframe it and say, you know, this is a key part of my son's life that, if I were still working right now in Manhattan instead of from home, I'd see less of him. And so how nice of you to take a walk on a day in, you know, late May or June 2020 at 2 p.m. on Wednesday with my wife and son, rather than take a walk outside on West 32nd and 6th Avenue by myself going and calling on the phone to speak to them. So it's you're right. I think really important to reframe things in this pandemic. And so I just wanted to share that.
Yeah, and I just want to say, I don't want to say that like things aren't hard for people. And I'm not trying to say that like, you know, we should ignore how we're feeling in the moment. Like if we're feeling stressed out, if things are difficult, we need to feel that. Because if we just like shut it down and suppress it, mm-hmm. that's going to lead to trouble later on.
Yeah.
However, we don't have to marinate in it. We can feel it, sit with it, but then do something about it. Move that energy. Talk about it with your partner, your spouse, your loved ones. Get out there and maybe go for a run or go jogging or something. Do something to let go of that energy. There are lots of things we can do. Now, again, this reframing, we're using taking care of kids as an example.
Yeah.
The same thing is true about your business, your job, your work. You know, a lot of people, you know, lost their jobs because they worked in the hospitality industry. Mm-hmm. Some of the people I know who were doing that, they're now doing something completely different that they might not have been doing had they not lost their job. Right. And again, it's like, we still don't know the long-term implications of all of this. Mm-hmm. And again, like some businesses are more easy to adapt to this kind of environment than others.
Right.
But again, it's like, when else do we have a time where it's like everybody's going through the same thing at once? Mm-hmm. To just pull back, take a breath, and look at, am I really doing what I want to be doing? Mm. Like, to me, that's the biggest gift of this whole experience over the last 14 months, is I've seen with many, many, many people that this pandemic got people to look at their priorities. and say to themselves, like, you know what? I've been paying enough attention to my health. I need to pay more attention to my health. Or I haven't been paying enough attention to my close relationships. I need to connect with people and be more. The one thing I have not heard, I've had nobody, I've not a single person I've talked to is like, I got to make more money. I got to get a bigger house. I got to get a bigger, you know, that materialistic consumerist mentality that had been driving this country for so long, it kind of hit a whole pause on that. And by hitting a pause on that, it gives us a unique opportunity to look at it and say, is like, is that really what's most important to me? And a lot of people who are asking that question are coming up with the answer, no, it's not what's most important to me. And now they're looking to do things that are more fulfilling, more in alignment with who they are as a person, that they're not just going to go into a job, any job, just because it's willing to pay the money. It's got to be something they believe in, they enjoy, that supports and uplifts them. So there are a lot of gifts within this, not to saying that there aren't challenges and difficult situations, but if we can just take a step back, not take it so personal, and look at what are the, if not current gifts, what are the potential gifts that can come out of this? You know, we can see things a little differently. Now, again, not to say that there's not been a huge amount of loss across the boards. Absolutely not. And my heart goes out to people who've lost family members and those close to them. I've known people who've passed from COVID. And I know people who've gotten it and who got it a year ago and they're still dealing with the side effects of it. And I'm not trying to minimize that at all. Right. I'm just saying, in any given situation, no matter how bad it is, there's always something that we can get from it that can serve us in some way.
Right. And that's so important to note, I think, that, you know, we're not trying to paper over or minimize the legitimacy of people's stress. Like when I was, you know, home with my son, not to compare it to what people have gone through in terms of the loss of a loved one or death, but it was at times very challenging and difficult, you know, having deadlines and having, you know, childcare, you know, responsibilities that were added on more than usual. But it was at times really a gift when I could feel that, express it, acknowledge it as legitimate and real, then I can say, okay, but look at this. I get to take my son out an extra time on Wednesday. I'm home all the time. I see him all the time. But I think that's important to note. You know, I think this, what I'm hearing from you, Sam, is sort of a like an awareness, like sort of component, right? Just become aware of almost like waking up, right? You talk about, you know, awakening, what's not working for us, what is sort of going through the rhythms or the motions and routine, and then COVID comes along and sort of shakes us up. I think it also makes us realize that, you know, the things that we get caught up in and hooked by maybe aren't so important because they can turn on a dime, you know, a business, money, you know, here comes this little virus that sweeps the world and all of a sudden all these big businesses, we're all on common ground. We're all stuck in our homes, you know, where, so I want to talk more about this with you. I want to hear more about this from you. We have to take a commercial break. When we come back, I will talk to Sam about some centering exercises or techniques that we can use to cultivate awareness. So stick around, folks, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.
Hey, everybody, it's Tommy D, the nonprofit sector connector, coming at you from my attic. Each week here on talkradio.nyc, I host a program, Philanthropy in Focus. Nonprofits impact us each and every day, and it's my focus to help them amplify their message and tell their story. Listen each week at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time until 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a business owner? Do you want to be a business owner? Do you work with business owners? Hi, I'm Stephen Fry, your small and medium-sized business or SMB guy, and I'm the host of the new show, Always Friday. While I love to have fun on my show, we take those Friday feelings of freedom and clarity to discuss popular topics on the minds of SMBs today. Please join me and my various special guests on Friday at 11 a.m. on talkradio.nyc.
Mm-hmm. Do you run or are ready to open your own business? Hi, I'm Jeremiah Fox. I've been operating and opening small business for the last 25 years, and I'm the host of the new show, The Entrepreneurial Web. Tune in every Friday at noon Eastern Time for insights and stories on the nuances of running small business right here on Fridays at noon, talkradio.nyc.
Hi, I am Joseph Franklin McElroy, host of the new podcast, Wise Content Creates Wealth. It airs on talkradio.nyc every Friday afternoon from 1 p.m. to 2. They say content is king. Well, wise content rules the world. Every episode features tools and tips for content marketing and business people telling the wise content stories of that success. Tune in every Friday from 1 p.m. to 2 on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
Welcome back to Employment Law Today. Once again, I'm your host, Eric Sauver, employment law, business law attorney, and here tonight with my guest, Sam Leibowitz. Sam runs the station that we're on right now. He's also a coach and mentor as a conscious consultant, and recently wrote a book called Everyday Awakening, which I'd like to talk a little bit about with you as well, Sam. But just kind of talking about concrete, like you mentioned earlier in the evening that you can go there with the abstract, but want to keep things concrete, which I think, you know, we've been doing so far. Wondering about, say, if I'm going to ask you a question, do you have any examples? Can you describe some, let's say, techniques people can use to ground themselves so that they're calm enough to reframe things, to notice what's going on, to be aware?
So the first thing is to just give yourself some space. Right? We tend to fill up our days and fill up our time. We got to do this, got to do that. We're running here, running there, trying to get all this stuff done. And we don't leave any room in our schedules for ourselves. Okay. So I would say just schedule some time to just be with yourself, to just sit. I mean, if you want to call it meditation, you can call it meditation, but just to sit with yourself, not focusing on anything, not watching TV, not doing something, but just sit and be. And then in a way, you're almost kind of forced to feel what's going on because now there's no external stimulus that's taking us out of presence. It's a practice in being present.
Right. Not on our phones, not on the iPhone, on Facebook, not listening to three things at once, not on a video game or computer or running from work, job commitment to job commitment. That scheduling of time, I hear there's a concrete. And the meditation or just even time to be present, I think, is important. You know, I practiced a little Buddhism. Used to go to the Shambhala Center in New York City. And it's a really interesting place. And I try to meditate each morning. And there are times when it gets hectic and when I don't want to. Sometimes I don't, right? Being honest, cards on the table, just busy, stress, and let me just get the day started. When I take 10 minutes to center myself, in that 10 minutes, it's usually I'm more productive. And it reminds me of something I heard once at a Shambhala Dharma talk when this speaker, a guest was giving a Dharma talk and talking about this very issue of how we're always so rushed. And he mentioned if you can set a timer for 5 minutes to sit in a chair and meditate. And people's hands went up and people, you know, said, oh, you know, but I have this in the morning. I have that. I'm very busy. What if I don't have time? What if I don't have 5 minutes to meditate? And the response I thought was kind of funny, but interesting. And the guy said, if you don't have time to take 5 minutes to meditate, you should take 10 minutes to meditate, which I thought was really richly ironic. And, you know, because if you're really that and maybe averse to spending time with yourself, and maybe there's something there that you really need to sit with. And I think what I heard him saying was you might have misaligned priorities, like the most important thing is, you know, getting the work done or go to the gym and all that's great, but if you're not centered, it's like a car. You know, if a car's not centered in the right direction before you hit the gas, You don't just spin the wheel randomly and start hitting, pounding, you know, stepping on the gas.
Exactly. Exactly. And look, I'm as busy as most people. I got a lot of things going on, but one of the things I try and do is before I do something to just take a breath. Mm. Our breath is such a wonderful tool and we ignore it so much. Mm-hmm. So before I'm about to have a phone call or a Zoom call with someone, to just sit and take a breath. And if you want to like be an overachiever around it, take a breath and have some intention behind it. Mm-hmm. You know, like, okay, I'm just going to relax for a second and that my intention is to be really present or to be really hear the person I'm about to have a conversation with and really find out what do they need? How can I help them? Mm-hmm. And so just taking a breath before you enter into anything, before you're about to do some task on your computer, before you're about to do your radio show, before you're about to do your podcast, before you're about to go to a networking event, or before you're about to just take a breath. Mm-hmm. Just take one long, slow, deep breath. Mm-hmm. And if we just do that, it immediately lowers the blood pressure. It centers us. It brings us back to like where we are right here, right now.
Right.
And it's a nice, simple one. You know, I'm a nice Jewish guy from the Bronx. I like things simple.
Right. Jewish guy from Long Island. I understand what you're saying. Yeah. You know, it comes down sometimes to simple things, really is simple, and they work. You know, I imagine it must be easy when you say easier for your clients to take in this type of advice. It could, because it's breaking things up into short, manageable steps, right? Take a breath, take a few minutes to pause and reflect, you know, and go out and exercise if you're really stressed, you know, move a muscle,
right?
You know, get your energy going. So I suppose that was to fall into the category really of things you can do, examples to reclaim success in the face of adversity, right? You can center yourself, breathing, reframe things.
Right, exactly. Mm-hmm. Because also when you sit and you breathe, it's you're giving yourself a chance to feel what's really going on for you. Mm-hmm. And when you give yourself that opportunity, you'd be surprised what can come up. You may not be as stressed as you think you are. Mm-hmm. You know, you might be a little anxious or you might be a little excited about something. Those two feelings have a very similar energy about them. Mm-hmm. And you may find that actually there's a lot of excitement about something because it's new and it's different, but it could still feel a little anxious because maybe there is a little bit of stress there. Just because you feel one way doesn't mean there aren't other things in there. Right. But how do we know how we feel if we don't take a moment to really just sit back and just be with whatever is right in front of us right here, right now? And that presence, to me, presence is one of the real keys to really getting through a challenge like this. Hmm. Being present with ourselves first, because if we can't be present with ourselves, how can we be present with another person?
Yeah.
If you're the kind of person who's always talking, you got so much to do, you're always busy, and you're running at a million miles a minute, how are you spending time with yourself? Mm-hmm. How are you being present to what's going on right in front of you? You're so focused on this goal, this achievement, this something you have to get done. You're like way out there and you're not really present to what's right here. Mm-hmm. And there could be some real gold right here that we're missing by not being present.
Gold. And I think gold comes in many forms, right? Gold can be in terms of, this is awareness of an intense feeling, whether it's a quote unquote negative feeling, I'll put it in quotes because it just could be some kind of unpleasant emotion, such as like fear, anger, anxiety, sadness, but that could be very informative to us, right? It can really teach us something. And with the presence of mind, I think that's where we experience joy. You know, I think that if we're too focused on the future, I think it can increase anxiety and decrease joy. And if we're too sort of stuck in the past, and with this pandemic too, I think that's very important. If I just make an observation, if I may, not a question, but an observation here. You know, then I think, you know, when this pandemic started, remember people were talking and trying to figure out how long could this be. And I think that I didn't know that we'd still be where we are now. And I see some light at the end of the tunnel, but it was definitely longer than I, as a non-science, non-medical guy, really knew. But I'm glad I didn't know. But there are times when I think we read an article would say, you know, we'll probably still be distanced and doing this in middle of 2021. And back in, say, June 2020, that was very hard to hear and focus on. I think for a lot of us, we had to just sort of stay in the moment, take it day by day. And then the days turn into weeks, turn into months. And suddenly it's like, oh, wow, we've been doing this, you know, hard task that 15, 14 months ago, we probably couldn't have imagined. We wouldn't want to know that we'd be
right
if we were looking too far ahead. So it's to your point, I hear, about, you know, looking at what's right in front of you without jumping ahead.
Right, exactly. You know, was it? I think it was Einstein who said that worry was a misuse of imagination. Because when we're worrying about the future, we're using our imagination. We're imagining what it's going to be like, and like getting all upset over it. Whereas when we, if we're just in the present moment, right here, right now, things are okay. I mean, unless they're not.
Yeah.
But most of the time, we either, you know, ruminating over the past, worrying about the future, and we totally miss the gift that is the present moment. And that's, this whole experience has been a real exercise that many Buddhists, many other people who have some kind of practice have been practicing, being more present to what's going on just in the present moment. But now it's like the whole rest of the world is like, you know, not even knowing. And it's so funny, like when I hear people talk about 5-year plans, I used to laugh about it because I was like, how do you know 5 years? Now it's like people can't even talk about what things are going to be like in 1 year.
Yeah.
Right. So what we can do is be present to what things are feeling like right now for us, and which direction we want to move. And does this feel like the right choice or the right decision for me in this moment? That we can definitely deal with. That we can definitely figure out.
Right. It's such an interesting point, Sam. I'm going to leave us on that point right now and take a commercial break like a minute early. So I think it's something to really for us to sit with and for our audience to sit with tonight. When we come back, I will talk with Sam a bit about his book, Everyday Awakening, and how it can help us to reclaim our professional lives and our personal lives and our serenity. So you're listening, as I mentioned, to Employment Law Today here on Talk Radio NYC with my guest, Sam Leibowitz. Stick around. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.
Are you a small business trying to navigate the COVID-19 related employment laws? Hello, I'm Eric Sauver, employment law business law attorney and host of the new radio show, Employment Law Today. On my show, we'll have guests to discuss the common employment law challenges business owners are facing during these trying times. Tune in on Tuesday evenings from 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc.
Podcast, Gateway to the Smokies. It airs on talkradio.nyc every Tuesday night from 6 p.m. to 7. Every episode is dedicated to memorable experiences in the Great Smoky Mountains National Park and surrounding areas. This show features experts and locals who will expound upon the richness of culture, history, and adventure that awaits you in the Smokies. Tune in every Tuesday from 6 p.m. to 7 on talkradio.nyc.
Do you love or are you intrigued about New York City and its neighborhoods? I'm Jeff Goodman, host of Rediscovering New York, a weekly show that showcases New York's history and its extraordinary neighborhoods. Every Tuesday live at 7 p.m., we focus on a particular neighborhood and explore its history, its vibe, its feel, and its energy. Tune in live every Tuesday at 7 p.m. on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
Welcome back to Employment Law Today. I'm your host, Eric Sauver, here tonight with Sam Leibowitz, the Conscious Consultant. I should mention Sam also has a show on the station, as you heard a commercial for earlier, the Conscious Consultant Hour, and can ask you about that in a moment. Just wanted to take in what you're saying, Sam. You know, our audience is listening tonight, getting tips and advice about how to reclaim their power during this pandemic. And, you know, I heard you mention earlier the idea of we focus on what we can control, which is how we show up, how we respond to events. I'm wondering, is there a story about a client you have where you use these techniques and it transformed how they showed up in their business or their lives, or that you want to share with us?
Yeah, I have this particular client who I've worked with on and off through the years, mm-hmm. who had started a new position with a company down in the Southeast. And there was a gentleman who was his manager, who was someone he had known from before. And he liked the guy, but he also triggered him. There was a lot of things that this guy did that just would cause his blood to boil. Mm-hmm. And so I talked with him about it, and I was like, well, this way you're feeling when he triggers you, have you ever felt that way before? He goes, yeah, well, whenever I work with him, I go, well, no, further before, going back, anybody else in your life who kind of acts like this guy, feel, you know, that same kind of energy, same kind of feeling. Mm-hmm. And he was quiet for a minute. And he says, oh, I'm like, what is it? And he goes, you know what? This guy is exactly like my dad when he used to get drunk. Mm-hmm. Like, these are the kinds of things that when my dad was drunk, he would do mm-hmm. when I was a kid. The way he would act out and this and that. Mm-hmm. And then it kind of all made sense to him that he's repeating this pattern of how he would react and get all emotional around his dad when he was a kid, he was doing with this manager. Mm-hmm. And so then we did some techniques of what he needed to do to ground and center himself, you know, like breathing. He started meditating. Mm-hmm. He started doing, you know, exercising. He started taking some kind of martial arts. Mm-hmm. And so when he started doing all that, then, and he was able to see this guy in a way like a father figure, even though he wasn't that much older than him, there wasn't that big a difference in age, it was just the energy around him. Hmm. So then he started being able to manage him. Then he started showing up and he would either joke with him or he would diffuse the energy by doing one of the techniques that I told him. And then before long, he ended up, actually the guy ended up leaving the business, and then he ended up becoming the manager. But mm-hmm. it totally changed the way he was showing up in the office. It changed he was running a call center, so he had all these people reporting him. And mm-hmm. and so it changed how he worked with his people as well as how he worked with his manager. So sometimes mm-hmm. just by bringing that greater awareness and just practicing being present, suddenly these things that seem to be such a pain all of a sudden weren't that difficult to deal with.
Right. It's interesting. Yeah, but it kind of comes back to this idea of awareness, cultivating what awareness is and how our feelings can be a driver. What I also hear in that story, Sam, is I hear something you said earlier about this guy, right? He couldn't control his boss, couldn't control what type of person he was, couldn't control how his boss acted, could not control the fact that this guy was his supervisor, he had to answer to, but he could control, he was able to control, that is, how he framed it, perceived it, showed up to it, how he quieted the stressful emotions within. So I think it's a good example, you know, to share with our audience.
And, you know, the interesting thing is, and I've had this with many, many of my clients, that uh-huh. as my clients start to show up differently in certain situations, the people around them start responding to them differently.
Right. Yeah.
So it's like, we can't change another person. Mm-hmm. We can't. Nobody is going to change unless they want to change.
Yeah.
But when we change ourselves and we change how we show up in a given situation, other people start responding to us differently because our energy is different. Our feeling around us is different. And so then they start responding differently. Like if we show up and we turn from being reactive into being more compassionate yeah. or showing up and having better boundaries, now all of a sudden, you know, we're saying, nope, that's not okay. But we're not mm-hmm. doing it from a reactive. We're not doing it from a distasteful point of view. We're doing it from a respectful point of view. Mm-hmm. People respond to that. differently. And so it's just amazing over and over again, as I see people grow and change and shift, they like call me up and go, oh my God, you won't believe it. Like my mother, she didn't criticize me today. And I was like, really, what was different? Oh, I just, you know, I listened to her. I didn't stop her from talking. And then she was like, you know, so it's these kinds of things. We really sometimes forget how important it is the way we show up for ourselves. And when we show up better for ourselves, other people shift and change and respond to us differently.
Right. We're putting the focus on ourselves and how we present in the world, and then people's energy towards us changes, and then that in turn. But if our goal is only to change how they respond, paradoxically, it doesn't accomplish that. I think it's like a paradox within.
Right. It's what we resist persists.
Right. I've heard that expression.
Because if we're resisting it, we're actually putting our energy towards it. So we're actually feeding that thing. But when we don't resist it, when we don't feed it, it naturally dissipates. There's an old Arabic saying that says they can't get your goat if they don't know where it's tied.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. Okay. I like that. Yeah. I like all these sayings. And I'm curious. Well, thank you, Sam, for that. It's good to have that context, that example of one of your clients and applying this to their lives. Wondering about your book, if I can ask your book, Everyday Awakening, right, which you recently published. And I'm wondering, how might your book help people to reclaim their power in their professional life after this year? Oh, there we go.
So, you know, it's interesting because this book is a culmination of my writings over the last 6 years of my blog. And I didn't start off writing this blog thinking I was ever going to turn it into a book. And I wasn't even thinking, you know, that my first book was going to be a book based on my blog. But I realized after looking back, I had, you know, a few hundred blog posts, and I got a lot of compliments from people about, oh, this was really good. This is just what I needed to hear today. So then I started to put it together. I worked with a professional editor to pick out the best ones, to organize it, to tighten things up. And now what I find people doing is they find like it's really helpful to just randomly open to a page and read. And usually because they're blog posts, they're short sections that are one or two pages long. So you can just spend 5 minutes reading something and it can totally shift your view of things. Like I just randomly opened to this one and it says, relationships are about the relationship we have with ourselves. Right? Because let's say, and so let's just say we're having a challenge with some kind of relationship with our lives. We randomly open this, we read it, and then it gives you a totally different perspective around relationships. And then it turns it back to ourselves of like, what's our relationship like with ourselves? How are we feeling about ourselves? And how, when we shift the relationship with ourselves, suddenly our relationship shifts with other people. So it's filled with 126 little writings, insights, perspective changes that a lot of people have found very helpful. I mean, it's how I've got like over, I don't know, 13 testimonials here in the book of transformational leaders who read the manuscript and thought it was really good. And that like really floored me. I was so surprised that these people who I hold in high esteem and high respect, that they were willing to say such nice things about what I had written, especially given it was my first book.
Right, right. It's interesting too, to be able to just open to pages. You know, I think I didn't actually know that about your book. I didn't realize that it was something where it had those different sections that you can just open to page 62 and find something for the day. And then of course read it collectively and gain from the knowledge there. Interesting really to have that perspective. You know, we've got about a couple minutes left. I want to turn the floor over to you to share about any upcoming events you might have. You know the drill, because you produce the show every week, right? So anything you want to talk about upcoming or your podcast?
Sure. I actually do have a class coming up. I'm doing a free webinar. I haven't had a chance to post it yet, called Lighten Your Grip. And it's all about sort of how, when we are not attached to things, how we actually give space and can really show up in a great way. And and if you go to the link is links.theconsciousconsultant.com slash lighten your grip. And I can put it in the chat here on the Facebook Live. I'm happy to put it in the comments. But that's my website, is theconsciousconsultant.com. And if you go to my website and you sign up for my newsletter, there's a free audio you get, which is a session that I did all around removing blocks to abundance. And it's still very valuable today. I mean, the audio quality of it isn't that good, but you can hear things fine. And there's a whole process I take people through. It's really something that I think helps a lot. So I'm offering that to people. And yeah, if people are interested to on my own show, I do host my show on Thursdays at 12 noon to 1 p.m. Eastern time here on talkradio.nyc, the Conscious Consultant Hour, where I interview all kinds of authors, coaches, consultants, professionals. This week, I believe I have on Terry Maxwell, who is the founder of Shift Co. and is a very accomplished businesswoman. We're going to be talking about doing business with purpose.
Right. Okay. A lot of things going on there, Sam. Thank you so much. Our show has come to a close. Time always flies, I find, when you're having fun. Once again, everyone, I'm Eric Sarver, the host of Employment Law Today. I'm here every Tuesday night at 5 p.m. with interesting guests that share about topics to help you through the pandemic. And again, thank you so much to you, Sam Leibowitz, the Conscious Consultant. Thank you for being on my show. Really appreciate it. And I wish everybody a wonderful week.
Thank you so much, Eric. Take care. Bye.
Listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
Hey everybody, it's Tommy D, the Nonprofit Sector Connector, coming at you from my attic. Each week here on talkradio.nyc, I host a program, Philanthropy in Focus. Nonprofits impact us each and every day, and it's my focus to help them amplify their message and tell their story. Listen each week at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time until 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on talkradio.nyc.
Hi, I'm Graham Dobbin. Join me every Thursday evening for the Mind Behind Leadership here on talkradio.nyc. We speak to people from business, sport, military and politics, all around what makes a great leader. The personal experiences of what's worked and, maybe more importantly, what hasn't worked. So, that's 7 o'clock every Thursday evening. The Mind Behind Leadership here on talkradio.nyc. Listen to real stories of real leaders.
Hi, I am Joseph Franklin McElroy, host of the new podcast, Wise Content Creates Wealth. It airs on talkradio.nyc every Friday afternoon from 1 p.m. to 2. They say content is king. Well, wise content rules the world. Every episode features tools and tips for content marketing and business people telling the wise content stories of that success. Tune in every Friday from 1 p.m. to 2 on talkradio.nyc.
Hey, all you listeners. Looking to boost your business? Why not advertise on Talk Radio NYC with very reasonable rates? Interested? Simply send us a message on our website, talkradio.nyc.
Do you love or are you intrigued about New York City and its neighborhoods? I'm Jeff Goodman, host of Rediscovering New York, a weekly show that showcases New York's history and its extraordinary neighborhoods. Every Tuesday live at 7 p.m., we focus on a particular neighborhood and explore its history, its vibe, its feel, and its energy. Tune in live every Tuesday at 7 p.m. on talkradio.nyc.
Howdy, I am Joseph Franklin McElroy, host of the new podcast, Gateway to the Smokies. It airs on talkradio.nyc every Tuesday night from 6 p.m. to 7. Every episode is dedicated to memorable experiences in the Great Smoky Mountains National Park and surrounding areas. This show features experts and locals who will expound upon the richness of culture, history, and adventure that awaits you in the Smokies. Tune in every Tuesday from 6 p.m. to 7 on talkradio.nyc.
listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.